Hey everyone, if you know me, you know that I've been investing in precious metals for many, many years. Once I realized that private banking cartels could drastically manipulate currencies, putting my family savings in jeopardy, I decided to take matters into my own hand and diversify our savings strategy. This is why I buy physical silver and gold and invest in metals through our Roth and 401k, and I only invest with Colonial Metals Group. CMG is the exclusive sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show, and they're helping me set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where I have access to my assets no matter what the stock market, or for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at Colonial help you protect your family's future with an extra special offer just for the SJ audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705 0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver just for the SJ audience. Join me today and take back your power. Secure your wealth with Colonial Metals Group. Well, hello world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting live right here from the Joy Virtual Studio in New York State, beautiful Finger Lakes region. We are live on Rumble, live on Twitter. We're live on Spreely TV, broadcasting to Roku and Apple TV. Thank you for that partnership. And of course, our good friends over at Studio 8424 broadcasting the show. So good to be with all of you today. I am Shannon Joy, and we have a big show for you today. We're starting a little bit late today because I had to throw out my show prep. We had a lot in the intro. We are going to talk about news of the day, some devastating economic news coming out of the Dallas Fed that was reported by Zero Hedge. We'll hit that tomorrow. Also, an amazing, insanely impactful testimony from Ron Johnson's Senate panel yesterday that was carried live by our friends over at Highwire. Names like Edward Dowd, who will be joining us next week on the Shannon Joy Show. Testimony about VAERS. Testimony about the DNA contamination by the brilliant Dr. Kevin McKiernan. It was some of the most impactful testimony that I have heard, and there is a different mood that I sensed in that hearing. It was one of urgency and authority, and they weren't pulling any punches. And so there is a different mood now in Washington, D.C. This was a hearing put together by Senator Ron Johnson, and I applaud him for continuing to bring these voices to Washington, D.C. and shoving them in front of the faces of the Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill who continue to ignore the devastation of COVID-19 lockdowns and particularly the COVID-19 vaccines. The nature of the testimony was a cover-up. What are they hiding? A cartel. How is the United States bureaucracy, the CDC and the FDA and the NIH connected to a cartel of massive pharmaceutical corporations and fraud, right? Bombshell testimony. And we're not going to do it today. We're going to do it tomorrow with a bunch of really great clips. Thank you to Chief Nerd and Vigilant Fox and some of the other aggregators out there on Twitter. They're absolutely amazing and a necessary part of the Shannon Joy Show. So tomorrow we are going to go in heavy on that testimony. Major, major things coming out. On Thursday, of course, we're welcoming Tracy Beans into the Joy Virtual Studio, which I'm super excited about. And today we have a very, very special guest that we're going to get to in just a moment. His name is John Leek. He is the co-author of The Courage to Face COVID-19, the blockbuster book by our good friend, Dr. Peter McCullough. John Leek was with us in Rochester at the Summit for Truth and Wellness last year, almost a year ago to the date, mid-March. He has written a new true crime novel. And what better? He's currently posting and reporting on the Courageous Discourse Substack, under Dr. Peter McCullough. But what better person to talk about the greatest crime against humanity committed in this century and perhaps history than one of the most prolific crime authors, true crime authors out there? We're going to talk about a whole host of issues, including biolabs in the state of California. What is going on in New York and California? I have warned my audience for so many years. I'm from New York. So goes California. So goes New York. So goes the rest of the country. They incubate the worst of the worst policies and pieces of legislation. They craft them and hone their tactics and techniques in these blue states and then export them to the rest of the country. This is why you have to pay attention. And this is why I blew up all of my show prep this morning to bring you some vital information about an absolutely horrific, horrific new law that is being proposed and gaining traction in New York State. This is the worst of the worst of the worst. Pay attention in the show notes under the description. I have pointed you to some links and Twitter accounts to follow on this. This needs to be crushed. This bill will absolutely destroy parental rights, and it will essentially give the state of New York and health bureaucrats and agents the right to seize the bodies of children in New York and violate every tenet of freedom, liberty, our constitutional rights, and most importantly, parental rights to determine the education and upbringing and health decisions for their children. It's absolutely horrific. When we come back, I'm going to go to a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to go over that and bring John Link into the Joy Virtual. Leak into the Joy Virtual Studio to comment on that and other news of the day. He is absolutely brilliant. I cannot wait to introduce you to him. And so we're going to go to break real quickly. When we come back, I'm going to bring you that vital, vital information. Pay attention. Get ready to push this out to everyone you know, because if it happens in New York, I assure you it can happen in the rest of the country. We'll be back in a moment right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
New details tonight on the 1963 assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was involved in a CIA operation 3 months before the assassination.
This project was said to be a covert CIA operation that was developing a top-secret vaccine and or a biological weapon.
What they're doing is they're trying to kill Castro.
I'm just a
patsy. In 1963, the world was a powder keg ready to explode. With the CIA holding a match to fuses on every continent. From Vietnam to Cuba, clandestine operations were being waged to preserve a fascist New World Order, which emerged from the ashes of the Third Reich. Assassination teams within the CIA had their eyes on two sitting heads of state. Fidel, a few years earlier, had survived an agency-led coup d'etat. The other head of state, President John F. Kennedy, had scuttled that attempted overthrow and pledged to dismantle the agency, which was already planning his demise. U.S. soil was no longer sacred nor safe from the murderous reach of the CIA, which now reached ambitiously into the heartland of America and into the bayous of New Orleans.
Not me, however, I'm a communist.
A young girl found herself caught up in a clandestine covert operation to eliminate Fidel Castro. This wouldn't be a shot heard around the world, but rather a silent shot of super cancer-causing poison, derived from a monkey simian virus called SV40. A team of fascists hell-bent on defeating communism, directed by the CIA, was formed in New Orleans. This den of vipers included the head of the National Cancer Society, the FBI's former head agent in mafia-controlled Chicago, and a paramilitary instructor who would bring in a double agent named Lee Harvey Oswald. This tale has everything from murder, espionage, a tragic love story, to bioweapons and the genesis of gain-of-function research. At the end of this, we'll have one dead doctor, multiple dead agents, and a dead president. I'm Shannon Joy. Stay tuned as I take you through the full story. Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. You can grab the full story right here on my Rumble page. We replayed it as a live event last week on Rumble, garnered another nearly 50,000 views. Over 250,000 people have watched the kill shot and my very, very first mini documentary. I love doing that project, and you guys can scroll down and check that out. It's an unbelievable story, absolutely unbelievable story. And so I want to quickly, before we bring in our special guest, John Leake, just give you the lowdown on what's going down in New York State. This bill, A6761, we've been talking about for a couple months, but it is disturbing because it's gaining traction. And the authors of this bill and the co-sponsors of this bill are doubling and tripling down. In addition, this assembly bill, A6761, has a companion bill in the Senate in New York State right now, which makes it even more dangerous. Parents have been rallying in New York City. Organizations like Teachers for Choice have been bringing awareness to this. But this is truly an absolutely dystopian nightmare. In New York State, they want to seize the children. They want the children. This is from the Autism Action Center, right? A write-up, which I've linked for you in the description of the Shannon Joy Show, because I want you guys to become activated. These links have the authors of the bill, the co-sponsors, their contact information, and all the information that you need to push this out to everyone that you know. But parents and concerned New Yorkers in Bronx are opposing Assemblymember Karine Reyes's bill, A6716, that would allow any medical procedure to be done to any child of any age without parental consent or knowledge. Reyes's A6761 would create a state of perpetual medical kidnapping and tyranny in New York State for all children. Okay? In an apparent effort to diminish the effects of this sweeping bill and the loss of parental rights, Reyes was quoted by a News 12 reporter saying that the bill would cover only things like giving a child Tylenol or vaccines, right? She completely dismisses the fact that many people cannot tolerate Tylenol and vaccines have a wide range of serious adverse reactions. So this is the text of the bill. And if you don't, this is absolutely sickening. I went in, they are lying about this bill. They're saying it only impacts homeless children. That is false. They're saying it only covers things like vaccines or Tylenol. That is false. There needs to be no judge, no court order, no CPS, no law enforcement, no knowledge by the parent, meaning in a school health center or in any health center, they could administer anything to a child at any time without even telling the parent. This is the text of the bill if you don't believe me. We're going to move on after this, but we're going to cover this. We'll have Michael Caine on the show to talk about this and maybe a couple experts, because this is outrageous. Again, this needs to be crushed to smithereens. There needs to be a show of unity nationwide to crush this bill. Big accounts like Libs of TikTok, Matt Walsh, our friends over at you know, some of these organizations that are fighting for kids, Moms for Liberty, need to pick up on this. Because again, what I have told you, if they can do this in New York State, they will export it to the rest of the country. They will find a way to do it. I assure you, this is why Texas is almost purple, because they adopt what happens in New York and New York State. They repackage it to make it palatable to conservatives and Republicans, and they use conservatives and Republicans to pass this stuff in states like Texas, okay? This is why this is important. Here is the text of the bill. Medical, dental, this is section 4, medical, dental, health, and hospital services may be rendered to persons of any age without the consent of a parent, legal guardian, or person possessing a lawful order of custody when in the practitioner's judgment, okay? Nurse, doctor, counselor, psychotherapist, therapist within the practitioner's judgment, meaning an unelected official, not even a bureaucrat of New York State, an emergency exists and the person is in immediate need, not danger, immediate need of medical attention in an attempt to secure consent would result in delay of treatment and would increase risk to the person's life or health. Health, meaning anything. They could say mental health. They could say they might have any reason whatsoever. We remember when they went to pass draconian dystopian abortion laws, allowing abortion on demand up into the third trimester, even after after birth, they used this language of the woman's health, not her life being in danger, but her health. And they expanded that to a woman having a headache, being stressed out about money, being stressed out about her life and how she's going to take care of the baby. That was included under the banner of health. This is a nightmare, and a signal needs to be sent. Now, I sent out a big tweet today, and it's already garnering a lot of reaction, and I tagged in some of our good friends over at Libs at TikTok, Matt Walsh, our friend Billboard Chris. I want to encourage you guys to go follow me on Twitter right now. Get all the information. It's linked in the description of this show. And make sure that you send this out to everyone you know. Tweet, retweet, and comment, because we need to kill this baby in the cradle. This terrible, terrible baby bill needs to be smothered in the cradle, and we need to get this done, and I'm on a mission to do it. So I'm going to be like a dog with a bone on this one. I'm not going to let this go, and it just really, really ticks me off. At this point, I'm going to bring in, he's been waiting so patiently, our good friend, author John Leake. He is an amazing true crime author. You've been waiting so patiently as I've been ranting and raving about what's going down in New York State. Amazing work. You write on Peter McCullough's Substack, Courageous Discourse, about all of the things that I'm interested in right now. And you also co-authored the book, The Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. You also, and we're going to talk about a recent work, your new book, a new crime book, true crime book that you have written that we will tell everyone about towards the end of the show. But real quickly, just to get your pulse, I haven't seen you in a year. How are you doing? Can you believe that we're still here, that everything is still in place after all the information and the work that you and Dr. McCullough have done? It's still like tone deaf politicians and the media still not addressing this kind of stuff and even pushing it, like in the bill that I mentioned here in New York State. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that free-thinking, independent-minded people like us remain the minority. And I think if you study history, whenever you have a time of turmoil and controversy, the independent-minded people who are awake and alert and who are carefully examining what's going on rather than just immediately responding to propaganda in a reflexive way. This element of humanity has always been the minority, and so it is today. So, I mean, you have guys like Peter McCullough and ladies like you who are attempting to tell the truth, but I fear that we remain a minority. And politicians, I think, are very sensitive to that tipping point where a minority view suddenly becomes the majority. And an interesting example I give of this is cigarette smoking and the link to cancer. There was a famous British epidemiologist named Sir Austin Bradford Hill, who probably the most famous epidemiologist in the world in history. And he wrote a landmark study in 1950, a meta-analysis linking cigarette smoking to lung carcinoma. But it was only 30 years later that his view of the matter and his understanding of the matter finally penetrated beyond commercial interests and propaganda. And now you would be hard pressed to find someone who denies that link. So the minority, you know, smart people are the minority, and we're still laboring within that realm.
It's interesting. I often liken what we're going through today and battling big pharma and the biopharmaceutical complex to battling big tobacco and, you know, that industry at the turn of the century. I mean, this was something, it's amazing. It's all the same players, John Leake. It's the American Medical Association. They had big glossy ads with doctors recommending menthol cigarettes to pregnant women to ease their stress and reduce weight gain during pregnancy. They had paid ads, they were bought off, and it was a knockdown, drag out battle to penetrate the psyche of the American population. It gives me hope, John, because I do believe, I've said often, we need to take down big pharma in the same way that big tobacco was taken down. That means legislation, organization, hearings like the one that we just saw yesterday, and the really important work that you've been doing with Dr. Peter McCullough.
Well, you know, I think that one additional element that we're up against with this is that I think Big Pharma has in many ways been very carefully and skillfully co-opted by government agencies such as the Department of Defense, DARPA, the Health and Human Services. They've established a sort of symbiotic relationship between Big Pharma and big state agencies who have the statutory power to distribute trillions of dollars. So I now see Big Pharma, particularly Pfizer and Moderna, as being adjuncts of the military-industrial complex. Yeah. And I think if I were to put my finger on one major theme since President Eisenhower gave his famous farewell address of 1959, it's the rise of the military-industrial complex, which has now brought Big Pharma into its network, its cartel. And I think that's what we're up against. In many ways, if you think of an infectious disease and all of the industry that goes along with the infectious disease racket, it is an analog to the fear of a foreign invasion by a foreign army, by the Russians or the Chinese or whatever. We have this analog of an infectious disease. So the public needs to be constantly propagandized in order to justify this huge, what I see is an infectious disease racket.
Yeah.
And I would say that Pfizer and Moderna are key players in this.
Well, you're touching on themes that we have touched on this program. Sasha Latipova has been a regular guest, and she was one of the originals to kind of blow the lid off of the Department of Defense orders and contracts that were sent to the players like Pfizer or Moderna. We have the famous Brooke Jackson case in Texas where Pfizer admitted that they committed fraud, but told a judge in court, well, we committed the fraud that the government ordered us to commit, right? This was a contract that came from the DOD. And, you know, it has now become, I think, widely accepted that the military has a very serious part to play, if not the part, in the rollout of all of the COVID protocols. And it's interesting, even going back to the, you know, the government using the military or the military using the government, I don't know whose tail is wagging which dog, but however that works, they really do want bottom line baseline, the ability to seize bodies and inject them. I mean, that's what I see as the core. This is why I told my audience on March 20th of 2020, that all COVID roads lead to forced or coerced vaccination. And I said that over and over and over, because I think if you begin with the end in mind and say, what do governments want? They want power. What do tyrants want? They want the bodies of people and the ability to do whatever they want. They can let you live or let you die or be nice or be mean. They don't really care as long as they have the power to do it. And that's why this New York State bill is so dangerous, because they're now seizing the bodies of children. Do you see any connections there, or do you see that theme?
Well, I think what Sasha Latipova and her close collaborator, Catherine Watt, have done, they've set forth in a very clear presentation that these, for example, these COVID-19 messenger RNA vaccines, they're not actually pharmaceutical products. They are legally described and designated as countermeasures.
Right.
So, you know, you think of Japan bombing Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941, and then in January of 46, this War Powers Act was passed that justified by the pursuant to the World War Powers Act, rounding up American citizens of Japanese ancestry. I mean, they were actually citizens of the, and putting them in internment camps. And I see a very, I think that's a good analog of what's going on. It's desperate times call for desperate measures. We have a public emergency akin to a foreign invasion. And now HHS, DOD, all of these agencies can just do whatever they want.
Right.
And because the citizenry is frightened, the citizenry will comply. And if you get a couple of troublemakers like Dr. Peter McCullough in Dallas, we'll just remove him from the public forum, ruin him, get him fired, sue him, destroy him. And it's always been that way. I mean, you know, human nature never changes. We just find ourselves in the middle of it.
Thanks for listening to The Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. As you all know, the Joy family is super sporty. We all play volleyball. The kids are playing beach volleyball in the summer, high school volleyball in the fall. And right now we are traveling across the country almost every weekend, different city every weekend, playing club volleyball. And the kids need good nutrition. Very difficult to be healthy on the road. Sometimes they're playing, you know, up to 5 games a day, 10 games in a weekend. And they need the vitamins and minerals. They need the nutrition. And I'm so thrilled to partner up with Field of Greens so that they can get all of the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that they need to supplement their regular diet and keep them full of energy and healthy on the court. Also, healing after these long tournaments is really important. And the product line over at Field of Greens is fantastic. It is an easy way to make sure that your family is getting the nutrients that they need, all natural, every single day. Go to fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. And plug in the promo code Shannon. You can check out their whole lineup of products. And if you put in that promo code Shannon, you'll get 15% off your order. So we're super excited to partner up with them and looking forward to a super healthy 2023. It's truly astounding, but I agree with your analysis that you have to, if you're going to analyze what is happening today, geopolitics, domestic politics, you know, even what's going on in Israel or Ukraine or Russia and in China, you have to look at this through the prism of a war rather than anything else. I think nothing makes sense unless you look at it through the prism of war. And I had
if I may interject there, war and crisis.
Right.
So the forbidden fruit, I think, in our so what we're seeing now, I think the forbidden fruit was eaten in 2008 with the financial crisis, where the very reckless institutions on Wall Street with levering up with all of these derivatives and mortgage-backed securities fraudulently rated by the ratings agencies, they created a financial crisis. So then it's the end of the world. You know, if we don't have this extraordinary emergency stimulus, then the banking system will go down. So the very guys that created the crisis then received all of the largesse in response to. And I think a horrible lesson was learned there. It's like a crisis is a good thing. If everyone's freaking out, then the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government will just come in, start printing money and distribute it to the very guys that created the crisis. And I think the evidence is quite clear, whether it was intentional or not, I don't know. But the SARS-CoV-2 virus that emerges from a lab in Wuhan, China, I mean, it's the very guys who were doing the gain of research work, and Anthony Fauci and Peter Daszak at EcoHealth Alliance and all of these virologist cronies of Fauci, they then become the center of the pandemic response. I mean, they and their friends in places like Moderna. I mean, remember, Fauci and the NIAID are partners, like legal and commercial partners, in the Moderna vaccine.
That's right. That's right. It's lucrative.
And you see a material transfer agreement between Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina and Moderna to do challenge studies on this virus. Already in December of 2019, you see this material transfer agreement between Ralph Baric and the NIAID. Well, Baric is the mastermind of this method of manipulating SARS coronaviruses in the lab. So Anne was worked closely with Shengzhi Li at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So, you know, I had a friend in high school. He was kind of a hooligan, but he was sort of a charismatic one. He would go around breaking sprinkler heads at night. And then he would present himself the next morning saying, "Hey, I saw your sprinkler head is spouting up. I'm a sprinkler head repairman." I think this is the kind of hooliganism we see. And I'll add one more thing. If you are in the free market and you have to come up with the product and market it and you know, carefully, assiduously build a customer base for your market, this takes years. It's hard work. There's competition.
That's right.
If you can get close to the U.S. Treasury or the Federal Reserve as a crisis responder to a war, an infectious disease, a climate crisis, a border crisis, you see that this proliferation of crises.
Right.
It's because if there's a crisis, the money flows.
Right.
And
right.
The lobbyists have figured this out. The military industrial complex has figured this out. The more crises we have, the better for these interests who are close to the government.
I do believe that many of our elected officials in the House and the Senate, I think we fail to realize that they are impacted by fear and propaganda as much as the American people and mainstream news media outlets. So when you have a constant lobbying of doom and gloom and fear, and let me tell you, a bioweapon that was created by the Chinese, released from a lab onto the American people. We don't know what this is going to do. It's novel. It could kill everyone. I mean, that is truly terrifying. It's why, John Leake, I give some grace to elected officials in the first 12 months. I give them 12 months of COVID-19 because I can understand how impactful that fear propaganda is on people, especially if they hadn't been red-pilled. I just had the benefit of being red-pilled like 8 or 9 years earlier about vaccines, so I knew what was going on. Wasn't that I was smarter. It's just that I had done my homework. I was prepared for this, and I wasn't surprised by it. But not all people are there, and there is a really heavy learning curve, I think, to be like, holy crap, we have no control whatsoever. The government is completely corrupted. These agencies are rogue. They're in bed with these massive pharmaceutical corporations. They don't care. And we've just completely lost control of our government. I think that's the truth of the matter right now.
Well, there's something I would add to that. I mean, if you actually dive into the mechanics of, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Right. So you're some young guy. You're probably not the brightest guy. You kind of just like attention and being in the spotlight and kind of saying platitudes. But let's say that you are kind of a smart guy and you want to go into public office. You go to Washington with one of the parties, and what you quickly discover upon your arrival is that you don't really have much time to think about anything. I mean, fundraising is this constant pressure that's being put on you. It's like no sooner have you arrived in office than you're running for the next one and you've got to raise money. And then just so much of what's presented to you in terms of legislative consideration has already been packaged up by lobbyists, by the big interests that you're having to contend with. So in some ways, I kind of feel sorry for these guys. Quickly, the CARES Act of...
I don't.
In other words, you go to Washington thinking that you might have some mental space to actually do something.
Yeah,
and you quickly discover that you're just overwhelmed with interest groups and the need to raise money. But anyway, real quick, I noticed, I think it was the CARES Act of March 26, 2020, which set forth the entire pandemic response and countermeasures and money and all of it coordinated with Health and Human Services and Medicare and Medicaid. There's over 1,000 pages, okay? You would be hard-pressed just to read the CARES Act between the time of this public emergency being declared and the CARES Act actually being passed. Like, most people would have a hard time reading a 1,000-page bill. So clearly, the bill had already been written.
I know.
It was already waiting for. I mean, and that's just a matter of just the time of the human mind to read a 1,000-page. There's no way that CARES Act was authored between the arrival of this thing at the beginning of March and the passage of the... So the lobbyists had already packaged that up. It was ready to rock and roll. And it, pursuant to Health and Human Services, a medical emergency, it unleashed this response.
Yeah. The way I see it is a smorgasbord. I mean, they have these massive bills. Pay out here, pay out there, favor here, favor there,
right.
You know, it's an elite 1% of corporate leaders, governmental leaders, bureaucrats, and obviously the military and the Federal Reserve who allow all this to happen. Okay. Right. It's all under their noses and they're just all getting rich and they're never held to account. And so they keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Here we are now at the end of dystopia. And I think that's why things are so bad. We got to go to break real quick. John Leek, you are absolutely brilliant. I love talking to you. And I want to talk more about this. We had Denis Rancourt in the Joy Virtual Studio last week. Out of Canada. And I apologize to all of you for the technical difficulties that we had during that interview. Many, many themes that I'm exploring with John Leek today, we talked about based on Denis' worldview and what he's seeing as more of a geopolitical apparatus at play here than anything that has to do with health. And so he has agreed. I had a couple meetings with Rumble, and it was definitely a major tech difficulty on Rumble's end. And Denis has agreed to come back on the show. He's very busy. He's working on another blockbuster report right now, but he's going to come back on the show in May. And Rumble's going to help us promote that as well, because I think this is very important for people to understand that I believe we've progressed. The data is important. The stories are important. The surveys and the mechanisms, the science, how the vaccine injures, and how all that is very, very important. But we can have all of the evidence in the world and all of the truth in the world at our fingertips, as we saw yesterday with the Senator Ron Johnson hearing, brilliant testimony. By the way, Dr. Harvey Reich spoke very eloquently about what John Leek was just talking about there too as well, DASIC and EcoHealth Alliance and what happened in the labs. And so you're going to want to pull that up. But we could have all the truth in the world, all of the evidence in the world. We could have mountains of evidence. But if there is no cultural will or political will or mechanism or organization to push back and force these people to address it, it will go into the abyss. It will die in darkness and we will never get to a truth space. And so this is why we have to not forget. This is why I have John Leek on the program today. We come back. We're going to talk about one of the reasons that you piqued my attention. Again, you've been writing on the geopolitical underpinnings of the past 3 years, and also the bio labs that have been discovered in California. Who needs Wuhan? Who needs Ukraine when these bastards can set up their labs right here in the United States of America and operate and do God knows what, right? Much, much easier to deploy something. It's outrageous. It's still happening. This is why I'm raging against the two political parties, because they won't address it. They're just like pressing the pedal to the metal. And you are reporting on that. I want to hear about what you have found when we come back right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Guys, stay with us. Make sure that you follow John Leek. His website is authorjohnleake.com. That's authorjohnleake.com. He is a writer and a true crime writer, great storyteller, in addition to co-authoring one of the most important books of this century, and that is The Courage to Face COVID-19 alongside Dr. Peter McCullough. So we want to support John and everything that he is doing. So go find him, and you can find his writings, very short, succinct, very good on Courageous Discourse as well. We'll be back in a moment to continue this discussion right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
Doesn't your dog deserve the best shampoo? Quinn Pittman not only makes the best goat milk soap and shampoo for you, he also found the secret formula for your dog. Here's Tanya.
As the owner of a Labradoodle that's very active on our 3 acres, I have tried several pet shampoos to keep him clean and the home smelling good. Nothing has worked as well as Coopy Goat Soap's pet shampoo. It cleans really well, it lathers, it is great on fleas, and best of all, it smells amazing. I will never buy another product again. And I know that when I buy from Coopy Goat Soap, I'm supporting a local family that shares my values. And that is really important to me.
Family values. That's what drove Quinn and his family to create a successful family business that makes the best goat milk soap and shampoo for you and your dog. Get yours at QPGoatSoap.com.
Thanks for listening to The Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I am so psyched to be working with the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. You guys know that I am all about personal empowerment, never living in fear or waiting for some politician to save you. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration does not make me feel safe or secure, but having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store physical gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, makes a lot of sense to me. Let the team of experts at CMG help you protect your family's future. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're already in a 401k or an IRA, or maybe you're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless of your situation, Colonial Metals Group can help. We put together a special offer for this audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Don't sit around waiting for a politician to save you. Save yourself, protect your wealth, and call Colonial Metals Group today. Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. And interestingly enough, even though the audio and the video was so bad last week with Denis Rancourt, we ended up doing, I mean, we were well over 300 live viewers for the majority. You all stuck with us during that interview because it was so compelling despite the tech difficulties. And I want to thank everyone in live chat. You guys are, you're loving this right now. You're loving John Leake. I knew you would love him. He's absolutely brilliant. Right now, we are up to 190 live viewers just on Rumble alone. So let's go ahead. If you guys can do me a favor, give us a thumbs up, share this with everyone you know, and follow the Shannon Joy Show. This is how we grow organically. As you guys know, I'm completely independent, self-producing. We do this all on our own here at the Shannon Joy Show. And we can only do that with your support, supporting us in the organic growth of the show on all of our platforms, but also at theshannonjoy.com. TheShannonJoy.com. That's where you can go and support us with your small dollar monthly contributions. So many of you are angel investors in the Shannon Joy Show, and we could not bring this to you every day without your support. So please visit us at TheShannonJoy.com, TheShannonJoy.com, and give us that thumbs up, comment in the live chat and in the comment section. That's going to get us up over 200 live viewers. That's what we want to do today right now on Rumble without any help from the algorithm. John Leake is with us today. Author at johnleake.com is his website. And you know, who better to talk to as we are in the middle of the greatest crime scene in human history, 21st century rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines, than an amazing true crime writer, John Leake. Thank you so much for being with us. You're awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's move on to one of the stories that you have recently been following, and that is Who needs bio labs in Wuhan when we can just plant them right here in the US? That's astounding. In California, it was said to be a conspiracy theory a couple of months ago, but it is absolutely true. What did you find about these labs and what kind of relationship do they have to the COVID-19 rollout and all of the shenanigans that went down in 2020?
Well, first, I'd like to say I'm indebted to a couple of great investigative journalists, a guy named Adam Gary and another guy named Nikos Biggs Karopoulos. And they write for the Kennedy Beacon Substack. That's a substack. It's not actually affiliated with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign. And in fact, it's kept strictly separate. But the Kennedy Beacon writes about issues that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has expressed concern about. And so I got to know Adam and Nikos through a strange true crime story that we investigated together of this guy who showed up at a Kennedy rally in Los Angeles last fall, impersonating a U.S. federal marshal. He had a pistol on his belt, and then he had a concealed weapon with multiple rounds of, multiple magazines of ammunition. So two semi-automatic pistols, and I think a total of about 100 rounds of ammo. Shows up at the Kennedy rally impersonating a U.S. federal marshal, demands under the presentation of his badge, "You need to take me to Kennedy." Security thought, "This is weird. This doesn't really add up." They called the LAPD. The guy was arrested, and no charges were filed.
Wow.
And almost immediately released. The FBI did not take an interest in it. The impersonation of a U.S. federal marshal, which is a U.S. felony, no interest in that. The DA of L.A. County had no interest in it. He was released on $10,000 bail. And the last time I checked, there's no trial date set. So the potential of violent crime being directed at people who are politically unpopular, at least in the eyes of our establishment in Washington or in Sacramento, it's really another weird story. All of this surveillance and all of this control and censorship. But if you show up, you know, armed to the teeth, you know, impersonating a U.S. federal marshal, as long as it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that is the subject of whatever scheme you're up to, then we're not going to sweat it. Have a good time. Adam and Nikos and I, you know, we also looked at this illegal biolab that was found just by a code officer, a guy in this, he's a code officer in this rural county in California. He just stumbles across this facility, and he, you know, using the authority of being a code official, goes and starts poking around in this facility. And it's full of all of these, what appear to be samples of highly pathogenic viruses, bacteria. There are things labeled, you know, Ebola, SARS-CoV-2, anthrax. And so the code official is asking, you know, what in the devil is going on here? A little bit of sniffing around shows that this lab, which is completely illegal, was established and run by a citizen of the People's Republic of China who is a fugitive from Canada. There's a $330 million judgment against him in Canada. He flees to evade that civil judgment to the United States and sets up an illegal bio lab in California. Now, I could go on about this. It's probably warrants an entire episode of your show. But the upshot of this is that the code official, and he tries his best, he's a good citizen and a good officer, he tries to get the CDC interested, the CDC being the competent authority for looking at this kind of thing, a potential public health infectious disease threat.
Right.
And CDC's just, we're not interested.
Unbelievable.
So You know, and at first I thought, well, I wonder if Adam and Nikos are sort of exaggerating or if there's some data on this that they're not privy to. And turns out a House Select Subcommittee on the Chinese Communist Party last November, the 16th, 2023, the committee had a hearing and they issued the following findings. The illegal biolab was run by People's Republic of China citizen who's wanted as a fugitive from Canada. The PRC citizen was a top official at a PRC state-controlled company with links to military civil fusion entities. The illegal biolab received millions of dollars in unexplained payments from People Republic of China banks while running the illegal biolab. And it goes on and on. So this is now typical of our legislative people in Washington. They present us with this stuff, but then the upshot seems to be, wow, isn't this really crazy? There's a People's Republic of China citizen with links to the military running this lab. Golly gee, how troubling.
But unbelievable.
Then there's nothing, there's no follow-up. I mean, it reminds me of the joint congressional investigation of the state of law enforcement in the run-up to the September the 11th, 2001 attacks. And I actually read that report, and there were initially 29 redacted pages of that report. It took a lawsuit, Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, to get those 29 pages disclosed to the American people.
Yeah.
Finally disclosed in 2016, I appear to be the only person that read them. And what the FBI and the CIA is saying is that this is a Saudi operation. I mean, including Ambassador Prince Bandar's himself and his wife, their Riggs bank account in Washington, D.C., is wire transferring money to two of the hijackers who were
unbelievable.
I mean, this is the world in which we live. It's all there. It's all right out in the open. Law enforcement knows about it. But there's just, for whatever reasons, when it comes to one of these major interests, there's no real follow-up. There's a sort of lassitude about the whole thing.
Well, does it go back maybe, John Leake, to what you're talking about, chaos and crisis leading to war, which is lucrative for so many entities these days, the government, the biopharmaceutical complex, military-industrial complex? Like, maybe they don't care. Maybe they just don't care. If deadly bioweapons are released from a lab in California, because then that gives them the excuse to write new laws, seize more power, use another crisis to expand their power and their wealth. And they're all just in on it together. That's the only explanation that I can come away with.
Well, I mean, it's a paradox, isn't it? Because we have this huge laxity with respect to an illegal biolab, while at the same time, the government, the state of California, is sort of manic and zealous in a lot of its policing of taxpayer citizens. I mean, we've seen this thing that is
In viruses. No, but it's even crazier. They're obsessed with virus. Oh, if measles breaks out in Rockland County, they shut down the whole county, slap everyone in masks, close the schools, and attack the unvaccinated, right? The Orthodox Jews who happen to not have their kids vaccinated. So they're terrified of viruses, of pathogens.
Right. But
But
if there's an illegal biolab run by some shady guy, a fugitive from justice with CCP links, we're not going to sweat it. But I mean, the ultimate example of this is the abundance of evidence that SARS-CoV-2 came out of the joint project of Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Peter Daszak at EcoHealth Alliance, and Shengji Li at the Wuhan Institute of Virology with the NIAID
funding,
completely funding it and in on the act. So, I mean, I could go on about all of this stuff, but it's all there. I mean, there was a big paper that came out, I think, in 22. Some guys I think at a Dutch institution studying molecular biology, they start looking at the genome, the gene sequence of SARS-CoV-2, and they notice that the code segment coding for the spike protein, the furin cleavage site, which is what makes this pathogen dock onto a human respiratory tract cell, they start looking at the code of that, and they do a huge computer search, and they get a perfect match with a sequence of genetic code patented by Moderna in Cambridge, Massachusetts. But that sequence, critical sequence of the SARS-CoV-2 code for the furin cleavage site, that was patented by Moderna in 2016.
Oh my gosh.
Do you think, how did Moderna already have a patent on this critical piece of genetic code when SARS-CoV-2, the actual virus, the actual sequencing, wasn't done until early 2020? And the guys that did the biostatistical analysis concluded there's the 1 in 3 trillion chance that was just coincidence. So Maria Bartiromo interviews Stéphane Bancel, the CEO of Moderna, and she says, Stéphane, how do you explain this perfect match? And he says, it's funny how these foreign guys who are in charge of all of this money and power suddenly lose their ability to speak English when they're put on the spot. He's like, well, I'm having scientific examination of this. I will get back to you. So we'll get back to you, but then there's no follow-up.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
There's no follow-up. So...
Is the lab still there, John? Is the lab still in California?
I can't say I know the absolute current state of that lab. I don't know. But until very recently, it continued to operate, and the CDC demonstrated no interest in this. I mean, a strange lack of interest. A lack of interest so conspicuous that it makes one wonder, has the CDC been compromised by the CCP? Has the Centers for Disease Control been compromised by the Chinese Communist Party? I mean, I don't know, but one asks, one wonders.
There's so many villains out there. There's so many villains. It's like hard to choose. Who are the bad guys? And I think it's just a cabal. I think it's just a bunch of really, really wealthy bureaucrats and global leaders, Bill Gates type. By the way, Bill Gates was the guy to your story about the sprinkler, right? And your friend who was the sprinkler guy. You know, Bill Gates, that was his whole shtick with Microsoft, getting everyone hooked on Office, Windows, you know, and then, oh, so sorry, golly gee, it's all infected with viruses, but here we have the antivirus to sell to you all. Like, these are bad people. These are bad people.
Well, Bill Gates is a fascinating case because, you know, we in America have very short memories.
Yes, we do.
In 1998, Bill Gates was public enemy number one in the U.S. Justice Department.
They threw a pie in his face. Have you seen that footage?
I have.
Everyone hated Bill Gates. Everyone.
But my main interest with Gates's relationship with the United States government was there was this massive, you know, antitrust case that was brought against Microsoft.
Yeah.
And if you can find it online, Bill Gates is being interviewed by a Department of Justice prosecutor about his antitrust violations. I'm trying to remember that prosecutor's name. Anyway, it'll come to me. But it's a wonderful interview that's videoed, and which Gates is being so petulant and arrogant.
He's so pissed.
How dare you guys even question me about this?
Yep.
So he looked like a total schmuck. He had a terrible PR problem. So he did the same thing that John D. Rockefeller did in 1916, which is you have the worst public image problem in the entire country. Everybody hates you. So what do you need to do? You need to start a philanthropic foundation in which you present the new Bill or the new John to the world as a great philanthropist.
And
I think that the Gates Foundation is in many ways modeled after the Rockefeller Foundation.
Oh, sure.
Now I don't want to suggest that this isn't a categorical thing. Not everything these foundations do is nefarious, but Bill Gates's total obsession with getting a needle in the arm of every man, woman, and child on Earth, it is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these pictures of him kind of, you know, with the vaccine, with the syringe, yeah. and he just is obsessed with this. And you one wonders what all of this is about. One can only speculate. But he had, I think it was January of 2019. He was at Davos, the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos. And he comes out blazing and says, vaccines are the greatest investment I've ever made. 20X. I mean, his foundation invested 10 billion bucks around 2010. And in 19, he said, we've had a 20X return on a $10 billion investment. Now, with a position that big, I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest investments with a monetary position that big in human history by a long shot. So there's big money in getting a needle in everyone's arm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, if you have the ability to make people sick, then you plug them into the system forever. If you have the ability to inject them with whatever you want, you can essentially do whatever you want to a body, and the human body becomes the consumer, the product, and the experiment. It's actually quite brilliant, very lucrative, I'm sure. And I'm sure he's probably figured that out. He is a megalomaniac, control freak, lunatic. I think he has a God complex. He's probably a transhumanist. He probably wishes he could be God, thinks that he is God. This is why these guys are so freaking dangerous. And by the way, John, to your point, you know, I thought philanthropy was about giving your money away. When he became a philanthropist, he was worth about $60 billion. Fast forward 20 years, he had doubled his wealth. He's probably quadrupled it since then. So it's the total opposite. Like, being a philanthropist apparently is the most lucrative thing that you can do as a billionaire, right? Is to pretend that you're not a capitalist and you're not in it for the money. And it's so gross. It's just horrible.
Well, there's huge tax advantages,
yes,
of having a foundation. So, you know, if you're just got your dough in bank accounts and brokerage accounts, real estate or whatever, you've got tax liabilities on, yeah, all of it. You shovel a bunch of this dough into a foundation, and it's a huge tax shelter. So
I want to start a foundation.
You should. The Shannon Joy Foundation for Truth, Justice, and the American Way.
I'm doing it. I'm you doing should. It. Why should they have all the fun, right?
Correct. Yeah.
You're so interesting. Let's talk about your book. I mean, I feel like honestly, I could probably keep you here for a couple hours because you're so interesting. But
I'll stick around if you want to talk with me.
No, you're fantastic. Well, I have to keep this into somewhat of a concise package. I'm trying to get myself out of here by at least an hour and 15 every day because I platform this show to a bunch of other platforms. And so I have to fit in there. I'm on AM radio and they have commercial breaks and this and that. Let's go to break real quick. And if you have some time, yeah, I want to talk about more if you're interested, but also your most recent book, The Meaning of Malice. And this is where, I mean, this is your art. This is your passion. This is what you do. It's why you're such a good storyteller, I think. I think that true crime is probably very applicable to life and what we're dealing with here. We are dealing with a really terrible crime. But The Meaning of Malice is one of your most recent projects, and I want to talk about that. Please visit John Leake's website. His website is authorjohnleake.com. That's authorjohnleake.com. You can get his books. Also, he writes weekly, almost daily, from Courageous Discourse, which is Peter McCullough's Substack page, which is fantastic. And I don't think you're on Twitter. I've searched you. I've looked for you on Twitter. Unless you're on Twitter under an alias, I can't find you.
I am. I just could never. I really struggled with social media. Just kind of, I just sort of want to jump off a balcony whenever I log on to social media. I am on Facebook, though. I have an Author John Leake Facebook page.
Okay.
And my website, Author John Leake. And you can find an Author John Leake video page on YouTube as well.
Okay. Okay. It's why you're so smart. I'm sure that it's because you're off the social media. Listen, you never know what's going to happen. Elon, they just changed a bunch of algorithms, and overnight Elon has demonetized a bunch of big platforms, and they're all yelling and screaming about it last night. And I'm like, well, Elon giveth and Elon taketh away. We are at the mercy of these platforms. So I'm getting ready. I'm nervous about 2024. I'm getting ready to maybe move the whole operation over to Substack right now, because I feel like that might be, I don't know what's going to go down with Twitter, but I'd love to hear what you think about that. When we come back, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll come back with John Leake. We're going to hear about his new book, The Meaning of Malice, and more right here on The Shannon Joy Show. Hey, everyone. Just want to pause for a moment to thank our sponsors over at Shell Shock CBD. That is shellshockcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code ShannonJoy for 10% off all of their products. We love this company, and I want to draw your attention today to a study that I found from 2014 published at NIH. This is a double-blind randomized placebo-controlled parallel group study of THC CBD spray and peripheral neuropathic pain treatment. And in the conclusion of this study, they found, and I quote, "These findings demonstrate that in a meaningful proportion of otherwise treatment-resistant patients, clinically important improvements in pain, sleep quality, and SGIC of the severity of their condition are obtained with the THC CBD spray." So as you know, we've been talking about the medicinal benefits of CBD. I use a non-THC CBD product called Rackout from Shellshock CBD that has me sleeping like a baby. And there are more and more studies out there showing that CBD is a really great alternative for people who want to stay off pharmaceutical products. And that's why I love the folks over at Shell Shock CBD. They have a whole variety of tinctures and creams and gummies and CBD products, both THC and non-THC, which is what I use, that are helping people to ease a whole variety of problems, whether it's stress, anxiety, sleeplessness, or even pain. They have the topical cream called Topical Thunder that people swear by. The reviews are fantastic. And as I've mentioned, the Rackout gummies, which is what I use when I can't sleep. It's an amazing product. I would love for you guys to try it out. If you go to shellshockcbd.com, that's shellshockcbd.com, you can get some of their products, the gummies particularly, in sample packs so that you don't have to buy and invest in the whole product. You can try it out, see it if you like it. And as John Burke always says, if you are not completely satisfied, they always give you a 100% money back guarantee. That is how confident they are in their products over at Shellshock CBD. So please support the companies that support the Shannon Joy Show. Go to shellshockcbd.com right now, today. Put in that promo code Shannon Joy and begin to experience the benefits of the medicinal benefits of Shellshock CBD. We'll be back in a moment. And we are back. Please support the sponsors that support the Shannon Joy Show. John Burke is the owner of Shellshock CBD, and he's an angel. He came in when we had to scramble, and I had to learn how to self-produce, and a lot of this went back, you know, a couple months ago. John Burke was just one of those guys, another content creator right here on Rumble with his company, came in and became an advertiser on the Shannon Joy Show. And I just love his products. It is absolutely true. We talk about so many dystopian things here on the Shannon Joy Show. People are like, how do you sleep at night? And sometimes it's Shell Shock CBD, and it is the Rackout gummies. I love, 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 love them. So use that promo code Shannon Joy and make sure you get that 10% discount, shellshockcbd.com. John Leake is with us today. Everyone loves you, John Leake, on the live chat on Rumble. I'm reading Guapaloco, new viewer today, new live chatter, excellent show. Inspiring Goddess is with us. JCH55 is with us, says she changed her clothes quickly for her sponsor. Yeah, I jumped out and changed my clothes, came back and read my – no, that was a pre-recorded sponsor read, JCH55. But no, everyone is really loving the show, and they have some questions too for you. So when, you know, maybe in a little bit I can ask you. I know that Mr. Worthless Eater wants to know what you think is coming next. right? What's going to happen in 2024? So we'll ask you that in a moment. But please tell us about your book, The Meaning of Malice, and your latest project and what you're working on and what is inspiring you right now.
My latest book is The Meaning of Malice, On the Trail of the Black Widow of Highland Park. Highland Park being a affluent, independent township in the middle of Dallas County. Wow. And when I was a boy growing up in Highland Park, there was a mysterious, very beguiling woman who lived just down the street from me where I grew up. Her name is Sandra Bridewell. And I was friends with one of her children. And I used to, this is the early 80s, 83, 84. I used to visit Sandra's house and I would occasionally bump into her and talk to her. And she was this beautiful raven haired. She had this snow white skin, big, beautiful brown eyes. And she was beguiling. And I thought she was fascinating.
I love it.
Yeah. And about 2 years after I had this series of interactions with her in her home, she suddenly turns up on the cover of our local D magazine, which is a sort of glossy magazine published in Dallas, Texas, about events in Dallas. Now, that's her. So this is May 1987, and this cover story presents this idea that could it be that this woman is responsible for multiple gunshot deaths?
No way.
And I a friend of mine walks into the high school cafeteria and says, can you believe this?
That's wild.
And I was like, that's Sandra. That's my neighbor. And so the title of this cover story is The Black Widow. And I derived the title of my book from that D magazine cover story in May of 1987. So what happened was Sandra's first husband was found shot to death in his marital bed. The police came to the scene. This is 1975. The Dallas police come to the scene. She says, oh, I don't know what's going on. It's terrible. They conduct a very cursory examination and they rule it a suicide. Okay.
Ooh, interesting.
A few years later, Sandra remarries what, without exaggeration, is the most popular guy in Dallas society. Everybody loved Bobby Bridewell. He was this really sparkling guy, came from a Tyler, Texas oil family. Bobby became famous for developing the premier luxury hotel in Dallas. It's called the Mansion on Turtle Creek. He was a social lion. He marries Sandra in 1978. 2 years later, he's diagnosed with fatal lymphoma, with terminal lymphoma. While he's being treated for lymphoma by our star local oncologist, a young guy named Dr. John Bagwell, Sandra takes a fancy to the treating doctor.
Oh my gosh.
He's very prominent. He has a beautiful house in Highland Park. He has a vacation home in Santa Fe. 2 months after Bobby Bridewell succumbs to cancer, the doctor's wife is found shot to death in her car at Love Field Airport. Last known contact is Sandra Bridewell. She'd just given Sandra a ride to Love Field.
Okay? No way.
The police take a cursory look at how Betsy was found in her car, and they rule it a suicide. Okay? No one in our community believes this, by the way, but for some reason, Dallas, the Dallas police and medical examiner are not getting the memo. Like, take a look at this lady, okay? Right. 2 years later, a young fellow named Alan Rarig moves to Dallas to work for a real estate mortgage company. The day after his arrival, he's driving down our street where I lived as well, and he sees this lady watering her azalea bushes. He parks his car and he gets out to go talk to her. Okay. They have a whirlwind romance. She tells him that she's pregnant. and they quickly marry. That's actually her on her wedding day with Alan. That's his shoulder that she's doing this kind of pretty, showing her painted fingernails. I love that photo.
Right.
On the 1 year anniversary of their wedding, he's found shot to death in his car.
Why can't they figure this out? Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Last known contact? Sandra Bridwell. Okay, this time they know it's murder. Like, there's no misinterpreting this one. And she becomes
ballsy too, right? I mean, at this point, she's like, I've gotten away with this for, you know.
Correct, correct.
Maybe a little sloppy.
So she becomes the prime suspect for that. But for reasons that just weren't clear at the time, the police never made a case against her. Okay, so I've been fascinated with this story for years. In the year 2007, so fast forward 20 years from this D Magazine story, I get a note from one of my mother's friends saying Sandra's been arrested. Ooh. But not for murder. She had in the interim changed her game from being a femme fatale seductress to being a Christian minister and missionary.
No way.
She presented herself to an elderly widow in Southport, South Carolina. She said, I'm in between missions. I'm about to depart for Africa. In the interim, I can take care of you. I can do cooking and cleaning around the house. She moves in with the elderly lady, steals her identity, gets credit cards taken out in her name, tries to get her Social Security benefit transferred to a different account. This time, the Social Security Administration gets her. Okay.
Wow.
She does 2 years for this kind of boring, bureaucratic sounding crime, aggravated identity theft. But it involved plundering this old lady.
Yeah. Okay?
That's when I got really deep into this. And so in conclusion, I've researched this for many years. I contracted modern forensic scientists. I obtained the original death scene photos of the first husband and then the doctor's wife. I had these examined by contemporary forensic scientists, bloodstain pattern expert, a former FBI profiler. And there are clear signs displayed in these crime scene photos that husband one and then the doctor's friend, they were not suicides. There's clear
evidence
that another party was involved. So I've just published the book in which I present evidence that Sandra, who's still alive, she might even watch this show, is, I believe, the evidence that I present with the assistance of forensic scientists shows, in my opinion, that she's an officially undetected serial killer. The suspicions long ago published in the D Magazine piece are true.
Wow. Wow. So, wow. Wow. And this was your childhood crush growing up.
This is my childhood crush. And I've had a fatal attraction to dangerous women ever since. Yeah. I've gotten in trouble with them ever since. And I may yet get in trouble with this one. I got a call the other day. Someone saw that I'd published this book. And he said, this is the kind of thing that happens when you're a true crime author. He said there was an incident in New York State on August the 8th, 2023, so last summer, in which there is a man who had a farm in New York State, and he's apparently a public figure. A woman who was stalking him came onto his farm with a loaded rifle, took several shots at him. He fled for his life. It's on video of this person with a rifle wearing a mask chasing him, takes another shot at him when he gets into a vehicle and drives away. The local county sheriff's office catches this woman.
Okay.
They find the shell casings. She's almost immediately released without bail. There's this no bail law.
Yeah, and we have that here. We have that here in New York State.
And as far as
murderers and rapists go on a regular basis, just like,
as far as I can ascertain, a trial date hasn't even been set. So we live in this weird era in which if you are not of the political elect. And I think he's a prominent white, middle-aged white male.
Oh, I'm diving into this one now.
Then, all bets are off. I mean, if a girl wants to show up and take a few shots at you with a rifle, then fine. I mean, maybe I'm not being fair to the local prosecutor's office, but as far as I can tell, they haven't even set a trial date.
John, New York is it's crazy town. It is crazy town in New York State. The local DAs, the prosecutors, the sheriffs, not in every county, but I mean, it is the epitome of lawlessness. And you're right about the bail. The criminal justice reforms are the worst here in New York State. And it's insane. I want to come to Dallas. I want my second mini documentary to be on your story. Oh my gosh, that is such a great, I mean, couldn't you see a full scale like production? I mean, your story is phenomenal. It's just perfect.
I just produced a documentary in which I present my forensic evidence. So you can find that on my YouTube page, author John Leake. It's posted on my, Shannon, you would even be so kind to post a link to it.
Of course, I would.
It was a lot of work to publish that documentary, and it was a lot of expense too. So I'd love it if your viewers would take a look at it.
Well, you know, I'm talking to a couple different producers about some potential projects in 2024, and I'm just absolutely fascinated. The best part of the story is that this was your childhood crush. I mean, that's what blows this out of the water, that like you're this young guy. And it reminds me of Edward T. Haslin in his book. The documentary that I did was based on his book, Dr. Mary's Monkey. Not in Dallas, but in New Orleans, 3 months before the assassination of JFK, and in Dallas. And but he had a child that it was the same thing. He grew up in the same town of this doctor that was brutally murdered. And it had always kind of fascinated him. And his dad worked at the same university. And it was just kind of a childhood fascination. I just think it's really interesting. So,
And Sandra, she's undoubtedly a fascinating, beautiful woman. As she left Highland Park under a cloud of suspicion, the FBI is looking at her. She's got multiple law enforcement agencies looking after her. She moves out to the Bay Area. She slightly changes her name. And she then has a career blackmailing married men in the Bay Area. There's a major cover story written about her depredations in the Bay Area in the San Francisco Chronicle in July of 89. And there was tons of local news footage. But again, it's like law enforcement just can't seem to do anything with this lady. She's just one step ahead of them. Now,
maybe she has some secrets on them. Maybe there's corruption or...
Well, I mean, one wonders all of these things. I think when your viewers look at my documentary and they actually see the photographs of what were purportedly suicides, I think they'll be pretty stunned that these were ruled suicides. The body has been clearly moved. There's all kinds of the bloodstain pattern doesn't match up with suicide.
Yeah.
Well, it's all there. But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, there are stories out there in which the factual disposition is clear, but for whatever reasons, our authorities can't quite seem to make it happen in terms of investigating it properly.
One of the things I've learned over the past decade, it's been about 10 years since I created and began producing this show, is that when things don't make sense, there's usually a major piece of the puzzle that is missing. There's something that is unknown that would make it make sense. And I think a lot of times, you know, there's corruption. I mean, I think corruption, when you have these just nonsensical, right? And same with the bio lab in China that the CDC doesn't care about, right? Like, what is it that is making them look the other way and turn the other way? And I think
that's a good question. And I think that goes to the heart of the dramatic and moral heart of this book. The doctor's wife is really the key, key incident in this story. So it's like, why is the husband and the and her friends, her immediate circle of friends, why aren't they providing, you know, a full account of what is going on with this woman? So if within our tightly knit society, like, you talk to anybody and they're like, there's no way Betsy committed suicide. Like, why on earth did the medical examiner rule the suicide? Betsy was being stalked and harassed by Sandra, who
Why wouldn't her family be outraged and demanding answers?
Had clearly taken an interest in the doctor. So why is there this strange wall of silence from the family and the immediate social circle of the victim? They're not talking with the police. And in this D Magazine article, the widower, the husband of Betsy, makes no statement. And the passage of the feature contains very, very little information about what exactly was going on with the doctor's wife. Why was this ruled a suicide? Sandra was her last. Sandra, she had just given Sandra a ride to Love Field a couple of hours before she was found shot at Love Field. And the police didn't even subject Sandra to a difficult interview.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's something there. Oh, my gosh. Sure. I can't wait. You're going to have to send me the book. Send me the book and I'll put it on my bookshelf with all my stuff. And I'll read it, too, because it's just absolutely fascinating. And all of these things come together. You know, I think in when you're living in times of great corruption, then it trickles down. You have the big, big, massive acts of corruption up at the top. And then you have it trickle down even to the local level where there are just so many secrets and so many people who are covering up those secrets that people get hurt and injured, and justice is not, and you just don't, it's not a time of justice. That's like, I guess, how I would encapsulate how it feels to live in the United States of America in 2024, is that there is no justice. There's no truth.
Well, this is the problem when you have a complete breakdown of the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
People begin to feel not only is there no sense and carefully cooperating with law enforcement, if I get into trouble, if there's some act of vengeance or reprisal taken against me, law enforcement's not going to protect me. So, I mean, we're into, you know, southern Italy, Sicily mafia territory, where there is this perception in these societies that have been dominated by the mafia for centuries that, you know, why would I talk to law enforcement?
Right.
Law enforcement's not going to protect me. And for example, the victim of this trespasser with a rifle in upstate New York on his farm, he doesn't want to go public and talk about it. He himself is frightened. So law enforcement just sucks. I mean, if you look at New York State and California, where I investigated the RFK, this incident with the guy impersonating the U.S. federal marshal.
I want to have you on that too. We need to go into that more because that's a fascinating.
I mean, you would just have to say that law enforcement in New York and California has just completely abrogated its duty to the citizenry.
Yeah.
And why the citizenry puts up with it? I mean, I guess we're all frightened. I mean, you get a guy like me or a lady like you talking about it, and you know, how do we know that we're not just going to be the subject of reprisal?
I will tell you, John, during the dark days of COVID-19, when I was very active, very outspoken locally here in Rochester, New York, protesting. I mean, you couldn't swing a dead cat without me at a protest somewhere, protesting lockdowns, masking, you name it. And it resulted in calling out our major local health official and the sheriff. Oh my gosh, I hammered the sheriff in my town. And that culminated, to your point, in the cops coming to my door, terrifying my daughter and serving the only armed quarantine order ever to my home on a Saturday morning, terrifying the entire family, but like there with like the guns and the cops, and it was super scary. And then they arrested me at a school board meeting for my mask like literally slipping below my nose. They sent like 4 cop cars, 6 Monroe County sheriffs, hauled me out of there, cuffed and stuffed me in the back of the car. And, you know, people said that to me. They're like, well, aren't you afraid? You're going up against, you know, these powerful people. And I'm like, I made the decision to be totally out there on a limb. I'm like, I'm going to be super, I'm going to go so transparent that if anything ever happened to me, then people would know about it. Because, you know, going into the darkness and hiding and not talking, to me, it felt safer to be completely out there, totally exposed for everyone to see. And so that's what I've done ever since. And they kind of leave me alone. I mean, because at least they have until this point.
Well, so, I mean, that's what Dr. Peter McCullough says. I mean, it's better to just get it all out there because then if I'm taken out, then it will be clear.
Why?
Right. You know, if you're these sort of half measures of occasionally making trouble, but not being completely transparent about it, it does make you wonder if you're even more vulnerable doing it that way.
That was my assessment. Yeah. That was, I mean, and believe me, it was a calculated assessment where I'm like, this is scary. I mean, when the cops come to your door armed with a quarantine order for your 11-year-old daughter, and you realize that a corrupt judge in family court or CPS could literally sign an order to seize your kid because you haven't vaccinated them or followed quarantine. I mean, that was one of the most terrifying moments of my life. I'm not even exaggerating here when I realized, you know, that was definitely calculated. I mean, I thought all those things through and I'm like, you know what? Everyone is safer. We're all safer being transparent. So I'm not surprised that Dr. McCullough made that same assessment.
Well, you know, I got into true crime writing I sort of stumbled into it, but my education is in political philosophy and I have a master's degree in political philosophy. And my great hero growing up was James Madison, the author of the U.S. Constitution. And I think what we're seeing, Madison understood that all of human history has been shaped and conditioned by tyranny.
Yeah.
And a prudent, free, law-abiding, moral citizenry can largely govern itself. I mean, we need the state for certain functions, but Madison's vision was we in America and these newly independent United States, we can be a people, a citizenry that more or less governs ourselves. Hence, this careful definition and limitation of state power.
Yeah.
Now, our people are the victims of our success that was bequeathed to us from Madison, because we have gotten accustomed and we've taken for granted what it means to be a free citizenry. Now what we're seeing is we've entered an era in which the high and mighty of this world don't care about the U.S. Constitution. They see it as an impediment to executive dictatorial power. They're the smart guys. They're the anointed ones. The rest of the citizenry are a bunch of fools. And we should have executive power as individual men and women to govern all of these people without the limitations imposed by the Constitution. So I see ourselves as firmly in an era in which the high and mighty are throwing out the U.S. They're undermining it. They're subverting it.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to get into a huge amount of trouble. Our citizenry will wake up one day and realize we're no longer free.
Well, that leads me brilliant. We're talking to John Leake, guys. Please support. It's L-E-A-K-E. I have like a frog in my throat today. L-E-A-K-E. L-E-A-K-E. John Leake. We definitely want to check out his new book, The Meaning of Malice. And this leads me to our last question. One of the commenters, again, live chat loves you. Right here on Rumble. And Mr. Worthless Eater is one of my regulars on the live chat. And he wants to know, and a lot of people have asked this actually, Do you know which county in New York that murder happened by any chance?
Yeah, I'll tell you. If you'll bear with me for one second. There is an Evening Sun, looks like a local newspaper, August the 11th, 2023. This is what was sent to me.
Okay.
Smithville, a woman faced multiple charges after allegedly showing up at the residence located along State Highway 220 in the town of Smithville. That's Chenango.
Okay. So that's I'm Finger Lakes region in New York. That's upstate. So that's upstate. That's up probably, I would guess, towards maybe Albany area. I'm not sure.
Chenango County Sheriff's Office.
We have all those tribal names here in New York State for our county.
Right. They're handling the incident. Now, my understanding is this woman who showed up with a mask. I mean, it's on video. It's not like, and they found the shell casing. She was arrested, immediately released with no bail. And apparently it's like, well, maybe we'll get around to trying this lady.
I'm looking into this, but I don't know if I should. One of my commenters says that they think that John is going to be sleeping with the fishes after he releases his book.
Maybe I will. But anyway, I can say I'm not suicidal. So if I get taken out, you know I was murdered.
That's the title of this show. We are not suicidal here on the channel. Data 12, thank you so much. They posted in the live chat your website, authorjohnleek.com. That's authorjohnleek.com. And yes, this is the question for Mr. Worthless Eater. What do we have in store for us? What do you think? I mean, you're a student of history, you're a philosopher, you are an observer of culture and an investigator of crime and co-author with Dr. Peter McCullough, all these amazing things. And you do your homework, you pay attention. What do you think is coming for us in 2024 and beyond?
If I were a gambling man, I would bet more war. The United States government is going to be completely reluctant to accept that all of the gazillions of dollars that's shoveled at Ukraine, all of the hundreds of thousands of Ukraine, instead of just doing a negotiated settlement with Russia and offering something like an Austrian-style neutrality deal with Russia. I mean, there was a deal on the table in Istanbul 60 days after this conflict broke out that was apparently a pretty good deal. The U.S. government, I think Boris Johnson was the envoy, said, no, you know, no deal, war, more war. Let's get more and more people killed, and let's keep sending billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. It was identified as one of the top money laundering nations in the world by the UN just a few years ago. So where's all that going? We don't know. But it's not working out.
No, it's not.
And the CIA, we know, is active in Ukraine. Even the New York Times is now acknowledging that. My prediction is the U.S. government is not going to accept the defeat of Ukraine in a negotiated settlement. It looks like war. And Macron is out this morning saying, you know, we're considering putting French boots on the ground in Ukraine. NATO goes to war. NATO goes to war with Russia, which is nuclear armed. And, you know, your readers or your viewers might remember Russia was invaded by Germany in 1941. It was invaded by Napoleon's army in 1812. They took huge losses in both the French invasion of 1812 and the German invasion of 41. I think 20 million Russians were killed in Operation Barbarossa in 41. I would hate to get into a situation of elevated risk of nuclear war in which the American homeland is possibly a target of hypersonic or intercontinental ballistic missiles over Ukraine. I mean, I think the Ukrainians are valiant, but I mean, I'd hate to see an elevated risk of nuclear war, which could take out the American homeland.
Yeah,
that would, these people that have been displaying their Ukrainian flags, they would have about a second to think of whether that was whether pursuing war and no negotiations was really the better course. But, you know, people are crazy. I mean, look at World War One. I mean, the Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria is assassinated in Sarajevo, and the Serbians and the Austrians and the Germans and everybody starts agitating for war. War is what everybody wanted. War is what they got. And then, you know, 4 years later, 12 million dead on the battlefields of Europe, machine gun gassed. People like war.
That might be one of the most profound things anyone has ever said on my show. And it's tragic. Way too many people like war and want war. Way too many people, whether it's war between cultures and societies, political parties, or war between countries and nations with ballistic missiles and nuclear weapons. It's a tale as old as time. You know, there is always this effort to kindle hatred. And we just kind of fight against it.
And the older men in positions of power who repeatedly, time and again in history, who push for war, they're never the ones that fight it.
Ever. Lindsey Graham.
That would be cool. It would almost be worth direct military confrontation with Russia if we could suit up Lindsey.
Let's get that beta on the battlefield.
Let's get him to hump a rifle on the front lines in eastern Ukraine. That would be awesome. I'd say go for it if I could just see that on camera.
You know, to your point, John, you're right. They want war. I think you'd be a fool to not understand that the people running things, Democrats and Republicans, all of them, both, in my opinion, both the political candidates and in the two major Republican parties, they're part of the machine. You'd be a fool to not understand how much they love war and want war and want to send our kids to war and could care less about the collateral damage that they inflict when they inject our bodies, force these lockdowns, force us into war. And what gives me hope, however, though, there are times and moments in human history that we can even look back to where people peacefully rising up, organizing, using their voices, using the power of the consumer and organization and communication can stand up and end this. And we're seeing this in Europe with these rolling protests where the French people are literally erecting brick and mortar walls in front of government bureaucrat homes. They are shutting down highways and transportation routes and major cities. And they 8 weeks, John Leake, they've been raging from Belgium to Denmark to Germany to France to UK against everything, COVID, the Great Reset, sustainability, these wars with Ukraine, all of it. They are fed up and they've had it. Here in the U.S.,
if I could interject, I mean, to me, the irony of the tragic irony of Ukraine is that our entire Cold War establishment in the late 90s, George Kennan being the most important, he was the architect of the Soviet containment policy during the Cold War. They all told Clinton in an open letter, and Kennan wrote an open letter in the New York Times called A Fateful Error, you can still find it, saying it's time to put an end to this enmity with Russia. Don't expand NATO all the way up to the Russian frontier. It will result in precisely the instability and bloodshed and warfare that it's purportedly being designed to stop. It will frighten the Russians. They're a continental landmass. They've been invaded before. If the CIA and NATO starts putting military assets on the Russian frontier, the Russians are just going to freak out, and it's going to result in precisely the war. This was conceived to prevent. Kennan himself wrote that in the New York Times. He's the whole architect of our Cold War policy. But I mean, you do think, like, what is wrong? And the most obvious explanation, follow the money, We still have this $800 billion a year defense budget. You have to maintain enmity with Russia in order to maintain that defense expenditure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the most likely.
I think you're right. But even people who want money do not have a desire for mutually assured destruction. I think that when you get into the discussion of nuclear war and releasing these nasty bioweapons on all of humanity, you're talking about a few people in positions of power who have some serious, serious psychological problems or spiritual problems. I think narcissistic personality disorders, sociopaths, psychopaths. I mean, I think that there are certain people or entities that are just, there are off the cliff. I mean, they are in this delusional psychosis where I think they think if they just, you know, off half of humanity, then they can save the planet and they can be, I don't know. I just think there's something a little more than money at play, because even people who want money, they don't want to their families to die or for them to die or to risk something like that.
Well, I think some element of psychopathy is a plausible hypothesis. I mean, one criminal psychiatrist have observed this: psychopaths never learn from their mistakes. They keep doing the same thing. They're sort of incorrigible. I mean, we had just pulled out of a 20-year occupation of Afghanistan, which started in order to assume control of the territory from the Taliban. We're there for 20 years. We get thousands of people killed. We get tens of thousands injured with traumatic brain injuries. We spend trillions of dollars. Then we pull out in September of 2021, chaotically turning it back over to the Taliban. I mean, no sooner has this boondoggle been undertaken that, well, now we need to get back into business in Ukraine. So they send the imbecile, who's our vice president, Kamala Harris, to the Munich Security Council. This is the most high level, sensitive, high tension moment in Europe and since World War II. And they send Kamala.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It makes no sense.
This is intentional.
Yeah,
this is an intentional provocation of Russia. It is an intentional seeking of a major confrontation between NATO and Russia.
Yeah,
and if you've studied the Cold War, which I have, I don't care what the intentions are of people who have their fingers on the buttons of tactical and strategic nuclear weapons. You get the elevated threat level is up, and you just start increasing the risk of an exchange.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is for real. People, in my opinion, should be very concerned about this. And how may I curse on your show, or I better
go for it. Go for it.
How many times have these shitheads that are in charge been surprised? How could we have known that this thing would blow up like this? Completely unexpected that a virus would get out of a lab. Well, why is it unexpected? I mean, there's.
I think because it's not. I think it's because we are in a big pickle. Like we're in big trouble here in the U.S.
There is a guy named Richard Ebright at Rutgers University.
Okay.
That has been pounding the table for years about these biolabs, saying the kind of stuff that you guys are doing there, the lack of security protocols that are in place. Something is going to get out. The risk of a pathogen whose evolution has been accelerated in a lab in order to make it infectious to humans, the risk of that getting out of a lab is 10x higher, or multiples higher, than the risk of a natural evolutionary jump from an animal to human through intermediary species. So Ebright's been saying this for years and no one's listening to him. Then this thing happens, it blows up in our face, and the same shitheads who were saying that we don't have to worry about nuclear war with Russia, they were surprised by the emergence of SARS-CoV-2. So when is the citizenry going to stop listening to these people?
Okay, let's pull this full circle back to what you were saying at the very beginning of this interview about how we've got to hit that tipping point. And I think that in any given culture, at any given time, most people are just followers. It's just the way that it is. 70%, 65, 70% of the people out there are going to do what they're told, whether they're stupid, corrupt, or lazy. There are all kinds of different reasons for people just falling in line and letting the system carry them along. And to your point, I think it is that awake, 20 to 30% of the American people or people in any given society that have to just continue to keep pressing the truth, organizing, finding each other, sticking together, not letting our movement be broken up by any of these infiltrating change agents or people who are trying to kind of mess this up, and just keep pushing forward. Because at some point, I mean, the tipping point is going to come. It will be the tipping point to war, as you described, and the destruction of humanity in countless ways that we probably can't even fathom. Or it will be a tipping point to truth and a restructuring, a renaissance, a revolution, some type of changing event that presses everyone, that humanity becomes alarmed, and then we have a period of truth. And then it'll be corrupted again, because it always does, and that's the nature of human history. But I'm, our moment in time, and that's why I do what I do. I know it's why you do what you do. It's why I do what I do every day, because I want my kids to be free. That's really basically it.
I tell you, I'm a little bit pessimistic. I mean, one of my favorite observers of the Third Reich was a Lutheran pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Oh, yes.
And Dietrich wrote, he was in prison, and he wrote an essay called On Stupidity.
I read it. Yeah. I love that essay. It's terrible. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
And he points out that under certain political conditions in which power is being exerted on the people, even a nation of people that was otherwise sensible, perhaps even educated, perhaps even intellectually agile, under this pressure, everyone just becomes stupid.
They do.
Quite literally. And he expressed the concern that the only thing that will awaken people from this moronic trance is something horrible.
Pain.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you look at Germany that signs up for all of this bullshit in the 1930s. They get dragged into this massive conflict, a world conflict. And then the Royal Air Force and the U.S. Army Air Corps bomb every city in Germany to smithereens. And it's like, well, now
they'll get it.
Now we are awake. Standing in the rubble of some of the most beautiful cities in Europe. So it kind of looks like the citizenries of the West are going to need a severe ass kicking. And then only then. Another guy who made similar observations was a KGB defector in 1983 named Yuri Bezmenov.
Yep.
He made similar observations. Only with the crash of a military boot into your fat ass, only then you will wake up.
So I'm
pessimistic. Yeah.
John Leake. Well, I don't think it's pessimistic. I actually look forward. When I go on to Steve Dace's show, and they ask me, am I at a 1 or a 10 in terms of pessimism and doom and gloom? I'm always excited to get to the pain, because I'm like, okay, let's get the suffering over with. Like, let's get it done. Because the faster we get to the pain, the faster we can get to hopefully the truth and justice. So I guess you could look at it at both ways. I guess I've already accepted in my lifetime that we're in it. I mean, the wheels of this machine have started, and there's no turning that off. And so I've made my peace with that. And so now I can begin. And also, just to the audience, if you're watching, in these moments in human history, this is where there is great opportunity for people who are willing to zig when everyone else zags, willing to stand up and tell the truth, willing to organize and do things differently. Very often, great fortunes are built out of the rubble of war, great opportunities and great families. And so there's always, in any situation, at least from my perspective, there's always that silver lining. So don't, you know, don't become suicidal, John Leake, or else people are really going to know.
Oh, I won't. Don't worry. If I get taken out, I'm actually having a good time. I'm partying. Remember that Prince song, "Tonight I'm Going to Party Like It's 1999. I mean, and that is a reference to the bomb, by the way.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Yeah. You have to.
I'm fine. Now, all these people in this country who have property and children, and I mean, you know, I'm a bachelor. I could just retire to a surf break in Mexico, and I don't really have any money. But these people who have big homes and children, and I mean, they have. So they ought to start thinking a bit more about all of this. And like in my town here in Dallas, you have all of these property people with Joe Biden signs in their front lawns. And I'm not really that interested in partisan politics. But I asked them, you know, you do realize he's not the executive. I mean, I don't know where you people live.
I know.
Like, what do you, what is your source? But he's clearly not the executive. So it should concern people.
Well, that's, you know, we've got to go. I could go. I mean, I could talk to you all day, we're 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Okay.
John Leake, my show is supposed to be 1 hour and 15 minutes, but you're so good and interesting that you are officially one of my favorite guests that I've ever had on the show. So you must promise to come back on a regular basis and talk about world events and try to put context into, you know, what is going on in some sense into the complete senseless. And I think that you make a lot of sense. And I'm really, really thankful for the time that you've given us today. You guys, his name is John Leake. Go to authorjohnleake.com. And you can also get his weekly and sometimes daily commentary over at Courageous Discourse. He is the co-author of Peter McCullough's
Substack. And I would like to encourage viewers who are interested in true crime, check out my new documentary. It's on author John Leake's page on YouTube. There's a trailer. And then there's a 45-minute documentary. That's awesome.
I'll link it up into the show notes. Okay. So I will put it, guys, in the comments section of the Rumble chat. And I'll make sure that on the podcast that it is in the show notes as well. So you guys can access that really, really easily. Everybody loves you. Yep. Funny, smart. They love your movie idea. Your book is a movie waiting to be produced, or at least, at the very least, a mini documentary. And yeah, it was just really, really interesting. Thank you so much for everything that you do, John Leake.
Thank you, Shannon. I enjoyed it.
Well, and thank all of you for being with us today here on this Shannon Joy Show. Again, the live chat is, as always, amazing. You guys have been commenting, lots of really smart and interesting comments throughout the whole chat. I wish I could get to all of them, but I'm always, always blessed to have really just the smartest people. And John is one of those people that just is able to connect those dots. And I think it probably is because he's off of social media. We should all think about doing that a little bit more, I think, as well. But really appreciate all of you. Make sure that you support John and everything he's doing. And please continue to support the Shannon Joy Show. Again, theshannonjoy.com, theshannonjoy.com is my website. Again, I'm also independent, and I couldn't do this without all of your support. So please consider setting up those one-time small dollar donations over at theshannonjoy.com. We have big shows coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to do the Senate hearing, the Ron Johnson Senate hearing, with tons of clips, some of the best out there, and analysis. And then on Thursday, the amazing Tracy Beans is going to be with us in the Joy Virtual Studio talking about that V-safe data and more just absolutely devastating news about the vaccine. I mean, it's all out there. We're going to talk about that and other political stories as well. Also, Ed Dowd, who just testified, is going to be with us next week on the Shannon Joy Show, along with Dr. William Mackis, who is also amazing. So we have a big, big roster of big, big guests coming up in the next 2 weeks on the Shannon Joy Show. And so you just want to make sure you follow the show right now. Give us the thumbs up and make sure you chat. Say hello. I'd love to hear your comments. All right, guys, we will be back tomorrow to do it all again right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hello, world. Welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, Shannon Joy for Connecta Mobile. So when I started my show 10 years ago, I would talk to my friends about privacy and the Fourth Amendment, and they would look at me like I had three heads. Now, fast forward to 2024, post-COVID, and everyone is talking about privacy. We are freaked out by AI, grossed out by government surveillance, and very aware that data is the new gold. Combine that with the new reality that your whole life and all of your data is on your phone and in the palm of your hands, making you a sitting duck for common hackers, corporate hustlers, or government spies. Are you going to let them get away with that? Well, I'm not. And that's why I use my Connecta mobile phone as the official business phone for Joy Media. That's because Connecta is the only phone company that specializes in security and privacy above all else. Call Connecta Mobile today and talk to a real person who lives in the United States about securing your devices and communications for as little as $35 a month. Their basic plan includes device encryption, encrypted text and data, also a free phone. That's just the beginning. Call 941-246-2156 to talk to a representative. That's 941-246-2156. Or go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Get securely connected today only with Connecta.